Blog Talk Radio.
This is Derek Felix, Derek Flex Felix, with a special podcast edition of on the Hard Hits Network. And we'll all just discuss just a couple of things here. We highlight the end of August. We start a new month, September. Certainly an exciting month. Summer's basically coming to an end, even though you don't know about the temperatures. But a lot of sports going on, obviously. You got week one of the U.S. Open. You got baseball pennant chases and wild card races, obviously, that have been hot. So I wanted to talk about a couple of these different things that are going on. I wanted to start with the Yankees. The Yankees continue to surprise since they changed their roster with the youth movement. They've continued to impress. They continue to win series. They took two out of three from Baltimore last weekend, followed it up by taking the last two games against the defending champion Royals and hurt their chances. Royals team that's really been playing well, and they had won 12 out of the last 13 or 13 out of 14. And the Yankees, after losing the first game, they win two straight games in extra innings, and they get a lot of great contributions from guys that are more like unsung heroes, guys that you weren't expecting to be part of it. Chase and Shreve coming up big with some couple of big scoreless innings, and he does it two straight nights. And after winning in extra innings last night, they do it in 13 innings for the Royals again. 5-4, and the Yankees are 69-63. They're half game better than the Royals, and they're in this race right now. And Heller, who pitched a relief all the my previous night, similar, he gets a win. So you really have to give the Yankees a lot of credit. They have really done a great job. Patances gave them two scoreless in the win on Tuesday, and then he comes in and gets his seventh save tonight. What a great job, especially Shreve. A guy who just got recalled and basically become an afterthought, fell apart last year after being a big contributor out of the bullpen. He just gets recalled and then right on the spot comes through and delivers just some huge clutch situations. One thing that really stood out to me with the defense, Brett Gardner especially. Gardner's been playing sensational left field. He's made some unbelievable catches. He made a running catch, a running grab of a line drive by Dyson that looked like if Gardner didn't catch it, it might have gone off the wall, might have gone all the way around, and it might have been inside the park home run. Because Dyson is really fast. Gardner's been playing some excellent left field lately. Ellsbury and the speed coming through, beating out an infield hit. On Wednesday, it was V.D. Glorious who started the rally with an infield hit on a hard hit ball to Hosmer that Hosmer usually makes the play on, just kind of hop off on him. But you certainly have to like what you see from this team. There's just no give up. So I think you have to give Joe Girardi a lot of credit. I've criticized him at times. A couple of games where he takes out Pineda, goes to the bullpen, goes to guys that just aren't that good, he'll give up three home runs, but hey, I mean, this team really competes hard. On a night where Sessa didn't have his best stuff, they fell behind. They fell behind 4-0, and Sessa was able to grit it out and give them 6 innings. And they fell behind 4-0, and they got to Ian Kennedy. They got the 3-run home run by Starlin Castro. Starlin hit it with all his might. Starlin Castro for his 19th home run. One more, and he's got 20. And that is just a hell of a season from Starlin Castro. Never will have the best on base, but he's got one. And you think you would take 20 home runs at 70 to 75 RBIs for your second baseman, who a new second baseman who they traded for last year, giving up only Adam Warren, basically. And then they got Adam Warren back, and he's pitching out of bullpen. So it seems like everything they've done lately has really worked out. Gary Sanchez continues to get hits every night. Fastest to 13 home runs. Do we get in 22 games, or was it 25? But they finally did cool off a little bit against the Royals. They struck him out a few times. Aaron Judge continues to struggle. He's been striking out a lot. He did hit a big home run on Tuesday, his third home run. But, you know, with these kids, you're going to have some ups and downs. So, certainly a very a lot of encouraging signs from this team. They are finding ways. They're finding ways to win games. And they came back tonight, and Sessa and the bullpen shut down the Royals completely. The Royals were very pesky and very tough in the late innings. They swelled it all on Tuesday night when they clawed back to force extras. But the Yankees finding ways to win games, and you have to be impressed. You have to really be impressed with what we've seen from this team, especially able to do it against the Royal bullpen that doesn't give up many runs. So a lot of positives right now that you take from this team. And they're just very likable. They're very enjoyable to follow right now. Brian McCann with the sack fly, and he hasn't really hit this year, but he did get the sack fly and got DDO, and that was enough for the Yankees to win. The sheriff continues to leave runners on pace, but bottom line is they're winning games, and they're hanging in there. They're hanging in this race. They got 3 coming up against the Orioles in Baltimore. And there they are. They said 2.5 out. 2.5 out. And now it's the Orioles and Tigers that are tied in the wild card. So the Yankees are right there. They're 69-63, both the Detroit Tigers and Orioles are 72-61. The Red Sox have the first wild card at 74-59. And then you have the Astros. That's 71-62. So the Astros are actually in front of the Yankees, too. A very tough team that they're going to be battling. And you've got the Orioles at 69-64. The Mariners have kind of faded. They're 68-65, a lost 5 straight. And they have really been playing bad baseball, so they might be falling out of it. It's going to be quite a scramble, I think. I think you're going to see quite a scramble in this final month. And, Yankees start them off the right way by getting a win in extra innings. A game that was really for August 31, but what is September 1? So that's an excellent job out of them. Now, as far as the Mets go, they're continuing to play much better. There they are. They're playing better, and they're starting to get on the right track. And you have to attribute it to Cespedes. His return seems to have really brought in a spark. The Mets are right there in that wild card chase. They have won the first 3 games from the Marlins, a team they were once chasing, and the Marlins are starting to fall apart. They're not finding their way. Cespedes in the first game hit the go-ahead home run in the 8th inning. And No, Batsler just gets a great contribution. It's very funny. Actually, that's what I said in an extra innings. That's right. It was won the game in extras in the 10th inning. But they're getting the contribution. That's the main thing. Jose Reyes is looking pretty good since he came back out of this. Maybe he just sort of stayed with the Mets from the beginning. He's been doing a great job there. Albert Flores, because he's doing the big hits. And they're doing what they have to do. And they don't have all their big stud pitchers right now. But what they do have are guys that are able to give them the innings that they need. Rafael Montero gave the 5-shot analytics. Something for Steven Matz, who knows if he'll be back or when he'll be back. The Syndergaard's been pitching much better for them. The Grom should be pitching. I think that's in their next game, as a matter of fact, in place of that. Familia continues to save games. 44 now at the franchise mark, 44 saves for Juris Familia. Best thing about the videos is record. And the New York Mets, thank Kelly Johnson. They load the bases. The Kelly Johnson, after Jay Bruce can't get the run in, a walk to Darnell, and Ramos was very predictable, and Kelly Johnson with a bases clearing double. The Mets are finding ways to win games, so they certainly are effective. And I think when it's all said and done, they're going to wind up in the playoffs, because I think that their experience is going to get them there. So, certainly something to look at. Yeah, Wilmer Flores is a guy who can play in every position, basically. They can play in the first, they can play in the third. Now they got Reyes playing third, sometimes a little bit short. And you have Kevin Johnson producing too. But Wilmer Flores with 15 home runs, 47 RBIs. He had a bad first half, but really true. Johnson used to always deliver big hits for the Mets. Very interestingly enough, Scamol tonight with 7 innings. Ended up only 2. And it was a tie game until the 8th inning. And the Mets found a way to get it done. You look at the race for that wild card, and they are chasing. They're still chasing the Cardinals. The Cardinals, they did drop a game finally, so they're 70-62. New York Mets are right there. They are 69-64, have won 3 straight games. Gonna set out their 4-game series against the Marlins, who have not looked all that good late in these games. Just not able to get those outs. And the New York Mets, it's looking more like the New York Mets are gonna find their way in. If they find their way in, watch out. Right now it's the Giants with the top spot of the wild card, trailing Dodgers by a game and a half. As the Dodgers split up here against the Rockies with a makeup, a doubleheader. The Giants 72-60. They're a game and a half behind the Dodgers. Bottom of the New York Mets, they're 69-64. A game and a half behind. Then you got the Pirates, who looked like they were making a move, and then they run into the Cubs. And the Cubs just continue to win games, and they lose 3 straight. And they're 67-64. Marlins are 67-66, and look like they're fading. So, I would have to think it's going to come down to, the Cardinals, Pirates, Mets for that final spot, and the Giants, of course, for the other spot. So, I think the Marlins are going to drop out. So, I think the AL race is a better race, obviously, but, you will see a lot of great things, obviously. So that's the baseball end of it. The tennis part, the podcast will go over a little bit. But this is a podcast, so you can listen to it whenever you want. Download it on demand on the iPad, on the iTunes. U.S. Open has been a very fun watch so far. I've watched what I can. And gonna go over that. So basically, the U.S. Open, it's the first week, it's the last major of the year. We've already seen some seeded players go out. So it's not really a surprise. Sarah Felix here at the podcast edition of Hard Hits, talking, we talk baseball, the first 15. This is the overtime part. So we'll start with U.S. Open. One of my favorite events, obviously. Final, it's hard to believe the final last limited of the season. Tennis, New York City, and a little bit of history made, too. A little bit of history, folks, as Nadal was taking on Andreas Seppi in the ninth session, following a very lopsided match, Lovitz match, where Garbi and Muguruza continued to disappoint after the French Open, losing in two lopsided sets where she just couldn't get anything accomplished. That's a piece also a blowout wet after a really good resetter, where she had to come back and dig deep to beat fellow American Allison Risky. Really good first round match. What I would say is, they put the roof in, they finally finished it, and even though the weather wasn't really that much, I guess they made up at some drafts, they decided to close the roof. And the fans were really not into this match tweeting down Seppi. Part of it was that Seppi was not that great an opponent against Rafa. Rafa came out and he bageled Seppi at a very uncompetitive first set and looked really sharp. The second set was a different story. Nadal was up at early break in the second set. And then they had the fourth match for about 6.5 minutes. So for six or about 10 minutes, well, 6.5 it took for them to close the roof. They had to close the roof. What I liked about it is that the players stayed on the court. It did take down. It didn't take us a lot for them to close the roof like it does. Whether it's Wimbledon or even the Australian Open, the players stayed on the court. So they stayed on the court, and obviously they didn't have a downfall, so they were able to stay on the court. They stayed on the court, they shut the roof, and the fans were going nuts. I mean, there was so much energy at Arthur Ashe Stadium. It was really weird. It was almost like this huge anticipation at the roof. So they closed the roof. We got fans, and they're taking pictures of the roof being closed. Never seen anything like it. It was pretty funny. It was chaotic, obviously. And after the roof was closed, Seppi played his best tennis. It just seemed like he was more settled in. He was hitting his forehand harder. His ground strokes started to come together. And Dahl didn't seem as comfortable. So there seems to be a lot more noise at the stadium. And Dahl's forehand started to let him down. He got broken by Seppi. And Seppi was really close to taking the second set. But a defiant Nadal would prevail in a very tight second set. He would get the big break that he needed, finish off the set on the break for 7-5. And Nadal would wind up winning in the third set pretty heavily also, winning 6-1. So 0-5-1 for Nadal. And he's into the third round. And his second has opened up, too. Because Milos Raonic, one of my picks to make the Final Four, and he didn't get to a second final, had a very bad day. I watched some of this match, and he just was not right against Ryan Harrison. Ryan Harrison's an American that's been around for a while. Harrison, did a really good job. The wrist of Raonic was bothering him, and he was not moving around. And there was obviously something wrong. It turned out that he crept up. And obviously a very disappointing performance by him. Milos Raonic, a guy who made the semis in Australia, makes his first ever slam final in Wimbledon, started to really come together. With John McEnroe helping as one of his coaches. And it just wasn't to be against Brian Harrison. After beating Dustin Brown, Harrison's a solid player, but what Harrison did, he kept the ball in. He did a good job on the serve, and Brown just could not move. And while the serve suffered a lot, it's tried to hang in there on that third set. But after the second set, you could see that Rodas was going to be, he was going to have problems in that third set. He did have problems, fucking the best he could, but double faults. And then a very uncompetitive fourth set. This Harrison leads us to a four set win, winning the last three sets 6-7, 7-5, 7-5, 6-1. And Ryan Harrison, an American, third round. Neil Swartz was a guy that we really like. But obviously, the weather and the cramping was really, really an issue for Bevos, and so was the wrist. And usually, big serve was not where you want to see it. And so he exits stage left, and very disappointing end to his season. Well, the season's not over. He'll probably be part of the part of the final couple of big tournaments indoors, including the last final ATP Masters that they do. That's always a really good tournament, the round robin format. He is ranked number 4 in the world, obviously, so he might drop down a spot or two, depending what happens with the rest of the seeds. He was a career hot fan. He loved it. What I would say is that it's obviously disappointing, but that's the nature of the sport, is that there are upsets. Even when you make a pick, you never know. I mean, Keys could have lost the first round match to Risky. So I could have had both. I could have had one of my champions out already. So, you never know. You just never know what you're going to get. Right, Harrison is actually younger. He's actually a year younger than Elias. He's 24, and he makes the third round. And I say great for him. Good for him. Obviously, has not had the a lot of success in his career, but to get into the third round, that's a great job out of him. Has not really played a lot of ATP Tour this year. His ranking coming in was 120, and this third round is the best he's ever thought in a Grand Slam. So this is an opportunity for him to maybe do something. Now, can he do it? That's the question. And that's the question you got to ask. Can he actually take advantage? Maybe try to build off this, maybe move his ranking into that top 100. So that's we're going to take a look at it and see, how it goes for him. We're going to look at the Nadal tour right now. And with Renitz going out, obviously, obviously, that's huge, because now Nadal looks like he's in good shape. Rafa, right now, he's going to take on Kuznetsov, a Russian, who won in straight sets. That's his third round match. Potential fourth round. The Frenchman, Pouillet, won in 5 sets. Had to come from behind for 2 sets down. And Bautista is a good player. He's a good hard quarter. One of those floaters that you do have to keep an eye on. That could be a potential round of 16 for Rafa. Assuming he gets through to Kuznetsov, Batista got against maybe Cleo. And on the other side, you've got Montes, who actually has won a couple of street fighters, which is weird for him. Always a very good player. Almagro actually knocking out a seed. Almagro was a very good quarter. Now, you look at this bracket. You have Ryan Harris matched up against the veteran Marcus Bagdatis. We know Marcus Bagdatis, of course, for his unbelievable run. How many years has it been since he made that run in Australia? I would say it's almost, it's got to be like 2008 or 2007. Yeah, it's been that long for Mr. Bagdatis. A guy who's always in majors, and it's been 10 years. It has been 10 years. Wow. So for a guy that just, he never really became the player we all thought he could become. Had that runner-up. He had that run in 2006, lost to Roger. Made the semis in Wimbledon that same year. And then the next year, fourth round and quarterfinals. And after that, it's just basically he's never been further than the fourth round, the round of 16. Last time he did that was in 09. Well, guess what? Bagdatis has been getting bounced in the first round recently from most of these tournaments. So he's got Ryan Harris in the next round. Yeah, we know this guy is a very capable player, but you have to wonder, will Mr. Bagdatis, actually, he beat Parra in four sets. So Bagdatis is a very streaky guy. Surf could be really on. His ground strokes could be excellent. But at times, he can also just fall apart. Harrison, this is an opportunity. It's obviously full fetch. It's an opportunity for a veteran. It's an opportunity for a younger player, younger American, to do something. Pick a match. That is obvious. I'm leaning towards Harrison. I actually think Harrison's going to play a good match. I am leaning towards him. Pagadis does have the better serve, though. When you look at the stats here, Harrison actually served more doubles than aces. It's Rana served 15 doubles. When you have a bad rest, the way you're cramping, it's tough. We know how good Rana has to be. Now, Marcos can serve a little better. So, Marcos, he only struck two aces, actually, in this match. But he played more of a safe match against Parra. I'm just looking at some of the stats here. It was opportunistic on his break points. If a pick a match, somebody is going to make the third round. And then you have Almagro against Marfis. Almagro is a hard player. He's a tough player at the five on these hard courts. Especially if he's actually in form. If he's in form, he certainly can get to the fourth round and give Marfis some problems. Obviously, doesn't have as much match play. His cover rank is still on the top 50. I would think Monfils, with his athleticism, would have a little too much for Almagro. But Almagro is very consistent at that baseline. Monfils was a crowd pleaser. He's still in the top 10. He's a showman. The fans love him. It's always gotten a lot better. I will say that. You just have to wonder if he will be focused. Will the focus be there? Will he do things that make you scratch your head, like he did against Roger when he was up 2 sets against him a couple of years ago? So these are questions you have to ask about Monfils. You don't know. Monfils this year has had a really good year. 35-11. It was high rank as 12, but you see it 10th. This tournament with that were not there. So into the top 10. That quarterfinal run, I mean, that was his chance. If he could have beat Roger, instead of falling apart, who knows? Maybe he makes that run final, he makes the final. This is a very talented player. It's also his birthday. He just turned 30. He turned 30 today. His birthday to Del Montes. A very talented player. He has to stay aggressive. If he's aggressive and makes good player decisions, then I think he's got a great chance here to reach the quarters. And if he reaches the quarters, he's probably going to face Nadal. I was Raddatz and I picked out of his bracket. But I think a Monfils versus Rafa quarter is a very strong possibility. On the flip side, Novak Djokovic really struggled. Really struggled against the just opponent that's just not consistent. And we saw it. We saw it. Certainly with the big Polish kid. Just unable to sustain anything. And that's Jerzy Jankiewicz in a nutshell, is that he isn't consistent enough. If he had been more consistent and had a different strategy, Novak might have been in a lot of trouble. He's actually just not look healthy. He gets a big break here because Vesely would have been a second round call. Vesely would have to go 5 sets, too. And his opponent crept up. That's why he's going to come back to win. But Vesely had an injury, and it became a walkover. So Novak got some days off, and that should definitely help Novak. His next opponent's going to be Yuzny. Mikhail Yuzny has been around the block, obviously. Doesn't really have anything that can really hurt Djokovic yet. I mean, yes, he's a good backcourt player. He will definitely, will run balls down, but I don't see him as any threat to Novak, even in Novak's state. I think Novak will win that straight. And could really come off. Is there a 4-set winner over Darcy? Gets Edmund, right? Is there? You have to come back from 2 sets down against the kid, the young American. It looks like you're going to have that Isner Djokovic round of 16 match, and that could be really huge for Isner. I mean, it could be a big opportunity right there for them. Now, on the flip side, you've got Sana, a 4-set winner. He's going against Tavares, a straight set winner over Pospisil. So that's a slugfest right there. Anson, obviously, that he can really hit with the whole big serve, the huge forehand. And he can really, he really can amp it up. So, he has missed some time this year. And Saga's the more talented player, the more gifted player. And he had that one run. That one run also that the Australian. He was runner-up also and lost also to Roger. It's interesting. This is a guy with very similar in style. Very similar, not style, but similar to Vegas, and he made that run. He's never been back to the final, but he's more successful. He's remained a top 10 player, a guy who could always be a threat, a guy who could go deep at the majors, quarters, semifinals. He's been able to do that at pretty much every major. In the quarters of Wimbledon, the quarters of the US Open last year, semis of Roland Garros in 15. He's a very talented player, certainly. He is 31. It's hard to believe. It's really hard to believe. I would have to think Saga. I think Saga will come through in that match. I think he's a little better. And he's got a little more athleticism. He seems to have got a little mentally stronger, which is a good thing to see. He seems to be focusing more. So, Beth could set up a beauty between Sana and Djokovic. If Djokovic's at form, then yeah, they could beat those. So I think that could be a great quarterfinal. Now, Tillich, you've got Sock. They're going to face Stover in what will be a slugfest. Could be a huge slugfest. I like Tillich. Sock played well. Certainly, but I think Tillich is better. And then Tillich would project to go against Steven Slagor or Edson. Novak gets to go against either Isner, gets to go against probably Isner. And then your quarter could be your quarter, and I think it's a great quarter if it happens. I have Novak versus Chilton. I got Chilton winning. I'll tell you what, whoever comes out of that bracket will have really earned it. Now, the women's side, I mentioned Berko losing. I'm not really surprised. She just has not performed well. I mean, she had that breakthrough, over in Roland Garros, winning her first major, beating Serena. But seems like when these players win their first major, they just can't follow it up. They can't do it for some reason. It's very odd. And I'm not sure why. Why this is a problem. Especially for the ladies. For the younger players. Banovic, it was predicted she went out in the first round. And she looks like she's done. I mean, she just got married. Maybe it's time for her to settle down. She doesn't want to, though. She wants to come back. She wants to try to figure it out. I don't know. I think once you're not mentally strong enough, you're pretty much screwed. You have Venus Williams against Gorgeous tomorrow. Julia Gorgeous, the really good looking German. I think Venus will come through in that, but you never know. The other part of the bed, second round, the bottom half will be on display. Novak team, it's Brankus. I think team probably come through. Tipsarevich, they beat Query in the first round. We told you Tipsarevich is one of those players that, I think Tipsarevich, he's in form. Should be in the third round. Could take on team in the third round. But one dash that's really huge. Steve Johnson, the young American who's up to 19 in the world, going against Juan Martín Del Potro. This should be a really good match. I take Del Potro. I actually have Del Potro on the second. So we'll see. We'll see how Martín does against Steve Johnson. America, it's got to matter. Ferreira against Fognini is a good match. Fognini is one of those players that, he's very annoying to play against. Ferreira is a very straightforward player. Obviously, not what he wants, but he's out of the top 10 now. I think Ferreira will come through in that, though. Kyrgios against Zabalos. On paper, Kyrgios is a guy who can go far. Not a lot of threats to him. The other Zverev, and this is the more talented Zverev, only 18, a teenager, going against the Brett Wawrinka, going up against Giudice. This is Wawrinka's bracket, and I went on both Del Potro. Now, on the bottom half, you got Nishikori. He's playing a second round match. You got Mohut playing against Mathieu. You got Karlovic against Donald Young, and what could be a really good match. Donaldson against Trinke. You got Lopez still in competition. Dimitrov against Charlie could be pretty good. And Simone against Lorenzi. Murray, this is Murray's bracket. Murray against Gorillas. Gorillas is best known for beating Federer. You got Wimbledon. Andy looks like he's in great form. I think he'll probably face Samoa. And then it could be Dimitrov. If Dimitrov's right, I think he'll beat Feliciano Lopez. And it could be a Dimitrov round of 16. And then maybe on the other side, what you'll get is probably a Nishikori match. So, but I don't know, I'm expecting the Paltrow to make this push. If it's not him, then I'll probably be down. That's what we have as far as that. The women, we talked about Venus, in a good bracket. Serena's also on display against Bobby King. Serena looks, she doesn't look like she has any threats. Yeah, I mean, she should pretty much walk through to the round of 16. Where maybe Stolzer, she might get to face Stolzer in the round of 16. So Stolzer is the one player that could be capable of pushing her. Xander Ritz against Suarez Navarro, which would be best for Nina. He's a solid player. Then you got Halep. I actually picked Halep to win this section. Halep does have a tricky match against Sakharova, so keep an eye on that match, though. Got Rawatska, of course, in her section. She's predicted to face Garcia. And then Pachinski and Pliskova, a couple of very underrated Euros. Milanovic against Pavlochikova. He's got Gorgeous against Venus. I mean, this section, I think the section's going to open up. And I think Lorenzo's going to win the section. And I'm going to stay with my hollow pick. But she is facing a dangerous opponent. So, very interesting. Now, you got Keys. She's going up with Osaka, which is Japanese woman. Around. Glover could be Wolfiaki. Is that the Hebrew gets Netsava? She loves playing at the U.S. Open. This is her tournament. It's her favorite service. She loves the crowd. She's a crowd favorite. She'll get a Romanian, Nicolesa, in the third round. She comes through, and Keys does come through. But that could be an interesting round of 16 match. Konta won in three sets against Perikova, always a tricky player. Konta is a Rossi player for Great Britain. She's going to face Betches. Bolingo Betches in the next round. That is a peck of match right there. Two risers that you're going to hear from. So whoever wins that could make some noise. Berger Russo, of course, went out. Bondarenko beat Zing. Mikhail goes out to Vitti, finalist last year. Just looking at the rest of Silvakova, a three-set winner. Kvitova actually winning a couple of matches. Maybe she'll get some confidence from it. She's in Kerber's second. Kerber was a two-set winner. Which was saving some set points, 73 set points in the second set tiebreak. Over Mariana Lucic, probably. Kerber will next get a 17-year-old Bellis. Bellis is a good story. She's only 17, and plays with a lot of energy, and still deciding whether or not she's going to go to college to beat Shelby Rogers. She's Carver's next opponent in third round. I think that's going to be a pretty tough out of really. Fans will be rooting for her, of course. A bit of a, if she comes through, could be a fourth round opponent for Carver. I just don't know which Kvitova are you going to get to see. That's a real question. I mean, a Bessert or Konta could make some noise. That's the one thing I would say about this bracket. But this is Kerber's bracket, obviously. But Bessert and the other one, Konta, are going to face each other. The winner of that match could do something. I mean, obviously, right now, you like Serena, I like Keys. I also like Halep, but she does have a tricky match, so that's pretty much it as far as the open right now. You know, just looking here to see what the schedule is going to be. Let's just look here. What is the schedule for play today? And they're supposed to get some rain, too, on this Thursday. So keep an eye on that. We've got at 11, Sepharova going off against Halep. So they're playing pretty early. Not before one with the Andy Murray going against Granollers for the Spanier. And also, you have Borges against Williams, against Vias. So that's what you got there. Those are your day matches at the Arthur Stadium. You got Serena and the Knights Hester going against Valiant King. And the men's match, Steve Johnson against Mar Martino Ultra, that could be a real good match, actually. Could be some fireworks in that match. I expect that to go at least four. Armstrong has Nishikori early at 11 o'clock against Kachanov. Rowanska against Naomi Brody. Carlos Suarez tomorrow against Djokovic. Two veterans. And Stan the man, Stan Wawrinka, going against Dallas Ashford, Gina, see later in the day. Grandstand, you got Peskova against Gonzalez. You got Team going against Breakfast. He should be better. And you have Zhang going against Dozer. And then, not before 5:30, Kyrgios gets Dallas. Upper court features, Milanovic, the French woman, against Pavel Chakova. Lepchenko, American, against Pachinski. Karlovic, the big Dr. Evil, as Brad Gilbert calls him, against Donald Young. Always exciting to watch. That could be a good match right there. You know, Styles, big matches. Donald Young likes to hustle, likes to play from the baseline. Karlovic, of course, is the big serve. You could see some tie breaks right there. Hopefully the fans will be behind him. Over there on the court 17. And then Ferreira against Felidi. A couple of other highlights here. The old grandstand. A couple of French men going at it. Mahout, that for you. But he's a little better on the surface level of him. Then you have the beach run against Churdy. You got some doubles also, so you got a full slate of matches coming up. So it's going to be pretty interesting, obviously. There's already a couple of big seeds going out. Margarusa, the 3 seed, she went out, and Ronitz, the 4 on the the bet side, the Canadian going out. IUG Burchard also was out in round 1. She really needs to reevaluate things. I don't know. I mean, last year, of course, she had the terrible accident in the shower. First, she had a big win. And has not been the same player this year and needs to be more positive. Story, obviously, of the day was the roof. But that's going to do it for this podcast edition. Garrett Felix here, and it's definitely fun to always do podcasting and talk sports. But we hope to see you again on next